Good evening and welcome. Welcome to WINT. This is Jack Mancini. It's Wednesday evening, 7 p.m., and we are here, we being my partner Adam Sunhalter, to talk about dirty secrets of small business. That's what we do. Adam and I are business coaches with a company called Maximum Value Partners, and we deal with small businesses defined as 1 to 25 employees in any industry. Makes no difference. And we often go beyond that number of 25. Well, I can't say often, but we do go above it from time to time, quite significantly sometimes. But our sweet spot is 25 or under. We love small business owners, everything they do. Both Adam and I had big corporate experience and good careers, successful careers before a few decades. We left that world totally, completely behind us and got in the world of small businesses, both owning them and certainly coaching them, which is our love, and we've been doing it together for 17 years, maybe even more. We're getting there. But we're here. What we do is take from our coaching annals issues that we faced with our business owners, helping them frame the issues and then come up with solutions. We have some successful tracks that we've developed, and if you're willing to put in the time and commitment, you can have a successful company defined as growing sustainable profits. We have a lot of fun. We try to have a lot of fun doing this. We bring different guests. We bring different programs and twists, and we're still learning. We're still neophytes, Adam and I, in this business of radio. But we have fun doing it. And hopefully it's going to keep serving us well. It's working out okay. No complaintos. So what we do is pick a topic, and we're going to pick a topic tonight and talk about the 7 key pitfalls of transitioning your company. Transitioning is a fancy word for selling it, or at least moving it from one owner to another. And how you do this is basically there's legal and accounting issues that have to be resolved, but more importantly, those things can be resolved because they're pretty good case study already in place in a good way. What we deal with are the emotional part and the operations part and the day-to-day stuff and you know, the realities of just getting along. And it's amazing, especially in family businesses, the kinds of issues and dysfunction that exists. We see it all the time. It's not an easy thing to transfer a company or sell a company. And it's not easy because of the people part of it all. So we're going to explore that tonight. Maybe we'll get through it all. We've been splitting some of our programs when we get a little wordy here. Adam likes to talk a lot, so that stretches us out here.
Says the guy who's got a 3-minute monologue so far to open the show. But go ahead, Jack.
But that's what we do. Maximum Value Partners, business coaches, and we're talking with our program tonight, or about our program, Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Adam, what do you think?
I think that's great, Jack. Yes, welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here. And as he said, we're going to talk about how do you avoid those 7 key pitfalls when trying to transition the business. And again, part of the purpose of our show, folks, so we've talked about this over the years. It'll be 4 years here pretty soon that we've been doing this, and actually we got our 200th episode coming up here in a couple weeks, Jack.
Wow.
Hard to believe, but
I have to celebrate with that. I take care of Scotty back there behind the glass.
We're going to get the bells and whistles out. We're going to be going crazy.
It's all right, man. Celebrate those big milestones are important, aren't they? And it's part of what we talk to our clients about during their businesses. You got to stop and celebrate. Even if things aren't going well that day, you know what? If you have a milestone, stop everything else and celebrate, because there aren't enough times to celebrate. We don't necessarily take enough time to celebrate those kind of things.
You're absolutely right, Adam.
And so tonight, as we talk about, the purpose of our show overall is to try to shed some light on those dirty secrets that exist. And as Jack said, as we've been involved, and we've been blessed to have a front row seat with a lot of small businesses, day-to-day stuff, but also many of them morph into what we're calling here these transitions. And again, it's one generation to the next, and it could be, again, family, non-family, it doesn't matter. And there are a lot of great people that are out there, Jack, that help with that. You know, you've got a lot of CPAs and attorneys and financial planners and insurance folks that will help with structuring the deal right, getting this trust set up, look at the tax advantage ways of doing this, how much life insurance I have to have here, what's the valuation over here, okay. And we've got experience that stuff too, but that's not our specialty. We've got some folks who are very good at that. As Jack was saying, it's more the day-to-day stuff in terms of what's kind of going on. And it's one of those things that you don't often think about. And it's often these I don't know if I want to call them silent killers, Jack, but they're these things that can creep up out of nowhere.
It's a good word, because that's what they are.
Yeah, so these silent killers can come up and just you know, torpedo a deal. And so if I go way back, you know, when I first came back here from New York and my time on Wall Street, and we were just getting this thing started, and I remember talking to a family friend who had just gone through a transition like this. And so it was probably 6 months before, and I was talking about what happened. They had a great transition over a couple year period. You know, got the ownership moved around. They got the day-to-day operations moved around. Everything was moving great. You know, Friday they had a great celebration, you know, for the owners who were leaving. And, hey, thanks for everything that you guys have done. It's been fantastic. A great celebration. Monday morning, get ready to kind of go to work and do everything. And it was, you know, business as usual. Except Dad was there. Right? The son comes in and he and his assistant says, hey, you know, your dad's here. Now, keep in mind, Friday was supposed to be Dad's last day, yet Dad's here. So the son's not sure what to do about this, so he calls Mom. Mom, what's Dad doing? He's here. Doesn't he remember? We kind of went through all this stuff, and Friday was the last day, and she says, yes, honey. He didn't know what else to do.
He didn't know where else to go, did he?
He had nowhere else to go, right? And it was one of those things when I almost couldn't believe it, Jack. Right? Again, you know, keep in mind that the place I was coming from, you know, I was involved in a ton of transactions. Most of them were not what we would define more small business, though. They're often maybe bigger businesses, and they're professional managers. And so the idea of transitioning from one to another was kind of no big deal. It was more who's going to be there, who's not going to be there kind of stuff. But this stuff that just, it didn't seem real to me. I said, you got to be kidding me, right? And he's like, no, I said, you can't make this stuff up. So part of what I think Jack was talking about, so over these last 17 years, we've had a chance to get a front row seat to a lot of these things, okay? And a big part we want to share tonight is to talk about some of these pitfalls that come up that are things that, again, we didn't see them coming. Certainly with the different scenarios we'll talk to you about, and we'll show how we kind of learn from this stuff. Because, again, part of the beauty of what we've done and we're trying to share with you folks is between Jack and I, we've made all those mistakes that you haven't made yet, or some that you have made too. We've made many more, and we've learned from them. And we're trying to share with you, here's what happens. And these softer things, these pitfalls, these silent killers. And so the first one, Jack, before I forgot to give people our phone number.
Yeah, okay.
If you're going through a transition or thinking about a transition or you got some stories, you're always welcome here. I forgot to mention that. Our phone number is 440-946-9468. Again, 440-946-9468. So the first one, Jack, kind of alluded to here with telling this opening story is, and we have flashbacks to an officer and a gentleman. So if you remember that movie, I think it was 1980-ish, or early 80s.
Lou Gossett and Richard Gere.
You got it. Lou Gossett Jr. was the drill sergeant. Richard Gere was the young, roughneck kind of guy that was going to officer school, and he was having some trouble early on, and everybody's going out for their weekend except for Richard Gere's character. And Louis Gossett Jr.'s, his whole charge for the next 48 hours was to break him so that he would quit and just walk away and leave, right? And you see all the things he's going through. Tremendous punishment of, you know, push-ups, run around, do all kinds of stuff, you know, in the rain, and whatever. Just awful, miserable, just being terrible, just trying to break him, right? And there's this great scene where Richard Gere looks and he's in tears yelling. He says, I got nowhere else to go.
That's right. That was memorable.
That was what was driving him to push to do. You can do whatever you want to me, but I got nowhere else to go. So you know what? I'm going to stay here and do whatever you tell me to do. And that emotion, Jack, is so common. So common. Much like the story we were telling here at the opening about the father showing up Monday morning. They don't know where else to go.
They don't know where else to go because, for the most part, they haven't done serious planning, and or they've done or not done other things like serious discussions, things that we're going to talk about here, which we are talking about. You know, they aren't ready. They aren't ready to truly sell their company, and they don't know it because these things creep up at the last minute. And to Adam's point, they're silent killers. They're killers of the deal. They often just muck it up, and you can avoid these by first being aware of them and then making the tough choices to deal with them. but I've got nowhere to go. That kind of indicates things like retirement, not having examined when you don't have your business to go to and you've been doing it every day for the last 30 years. What in the world, what an adjustment that is. So that's what we're talking about here.
And we try to keep things very simple, Jack. And so what we've discovered is it's great to start with a question, a very simple question, which would be, does the current owner want to leave the business? So you kind of have two answers there, right? Yes or no?
Well, of course he does, because he's selling it, right?
Well,
it
we don't
be very obvious.
Well, again, often when these situations come up, it isn't necessarily the current owner pushing it. It might be the next generation who's pushing it, who's bringing the ideas up, who's trying to make things kind of happen, who are putting flyers and postcards on the current owner's desk about, hey, there's some succession planning seminar going on here, you know, Jack, and maybe we should go check it out and see what's kind of going on. Trying to plant some of those seeds. Or it's maybe it's assumed that, hey, it's time for the owner, and the owner hasn't spoken up yet, but nobody's ever asked the owner, do you want to leave the business? And again, we've seen successes and failures in both, whether they say no or yes, okay? And so if we say no, okay, we can still work with that, but it's making a decision. It's better to know that the answer is no than to not know, Jack, right?
To not having it examined, right, and talk to the people who are going to be involved, not just the owner of the company, the family or principal partners, or, you know, you got to have those discussions. You have to.
So we had a case several years ago where we got involved with a company where it was husband and wife had owned the company. About 15 years in, the husband passes. A couple of the daughters are coming to the business, and mom's still running the company, and the daughter's there helping run with them as well. Probably 5 years after that, they realized that they needed a little bit outside help just in terms of the day-to-day running of stuff. And so Jack and I got brought in from that standpoint to help with the day-to-day and putting our seven keys to success into place there in terms of the business side of stuff. And as is often the case when we get involved with a company, we talk about a lot of different stuff. And so maybe 6 months or a year into it, there started to become a lot of discussions and talks about, well, hey, what's mom going to do next? Let's help mom go retire and enjoy herself. Just, you know, let her go travel and take some time off and just relax, right? And people will say that with all the best intentions, Jack. Just go away and just relax and enjoy yourself. And that seems like, hey, wouldn't that be just such a relief for somebody?
Great advice. That is great advice.
So why wouldn't they want to do it? So go try stuff. So to mom's credit, she did a lot of things, tried different stuff. You know, she did some traveling. She was, you know, had a boyfriend for a little while. Was trying different groups. You know, Rotary clubs and different things. Just trying different things to kind of check out what was kind of out there, and came back and said, "Look, I don't want to go." You know, and she couldn't necessarily logically explain it, but as you look back and see, look, there's so much of her invested. Her husband who had passed was invested in the business, and so, you know, just being there is kind of like he was still alive. There's a ton of emotion that kind of goes to this stuff, right?
Decades of that routine and growing and enjoying the highs and lows of running a business. That's where she was trapped. And to your point, Adam, she couldn't explain it. She couldn't explain why.
And so to the daughter's credit, after a little while of trying to push here and there, and mom kept coming back, I said, look, well, let's try to find a role for mom. Instead of kind of pushing her out, let's kind of find a role that it's going to work. And what they concluded on was to kind of have her be more the face of the company. So if there are any big events kind of going on, any big advertising pushes going on, any kind of trips that were happening, she was often the face of the company where people would recognize her, while the other daughters are working behind the scenes doing the other pieces of the business to kind of really run the business side of business stuff. And they've been able to coexist for a long time doing that now, and everybody's getting along and doing well, and there's a plan in place for when mom does eventually want to leave or mom does pass, where things are going to be handed over. But if they had tried to force and kept forcing her, instead of saying, hey, no's an okay answer, they can work around that. What if they say yes, Jack? We got a whole different thing. And we'll talk about it when we come back from break, because there's a whole different process to go through if they do say yes. So stick around. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight, Jack, about how do you avoid the seven common pitfalls or seven key pitfalls when it comes to transitioning your business. And we started talking to the first one as we're getting into the first segment there about I got nowhere else to go and making references to the office center and gentleman being very similar to an owner of a company who's not sure if they want to leave or not. And we talked about the situation where if the answer is, hey, does the owner want to leave or not? And if the answer is no, there's a certain way to handle this. And as we're going to break, Jack, we were saying, well, yeah, they could also say, well, yes, I want to leave. Or I'm not really sure, but I think I might want to leave, right? So what do they do in that case? In terms of trying to look at, you know, do I want to leave or not? What options do they have in terms of, again, people tell them, hey, just go enjoy yourself and retire, Jack, because you know, you've done that a couple times before and have really enjoyed retirement, right? Which is
I loved it. No. Some people
which is why you're sitting here tonight.
Some people are made to retire, Adam. They can do it, you know, without a stitch here. They just do it perfectly. And I can't do that. I'm one of those people who can't. I like to work. I like to be active. And I want to keep doing it until I fall face down in a puddle somewhere. So it takes all kinds. It's just not an easy thing. Usually that advice, hey, Mom, just go out and retire, is made by a 30-year-old who has no clue about what's coming down the line here. So it's not an easy thing to just retire. It takes planning. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of hard decisions, and it's just one part of the evolution, that's for sure.
I think a big part of what we talk about often, Jack, is the owner mentality versus the job mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have the owner mentality, part of the owner mentality is when you're going to work, it's not work like it is for the job mentality. There's tremendous pride and ownership and satisfaction that comes from the work. So again, it's not viewed as a burden per se. Again, often people hear that word work and they view it as a burden. Whereas the retirement word seems like you're unburdening stuff, right? And so that might be the case on the job standpoint where you're getting away from a job that maybe isn't something that you're very passionate about or that you really enjoy. But for an owner who's enjoying themselves, really loves being in the business and being the owner, it is a burden to think about retirement and try to figure out what you're going to do, because there are lots of things you can try, Jack. You can go travel, go see the world, go see this country, if you haven't done that, to kind of go around. I know we hear a lot of people talking about, hey, I'll get an RV and travel around with my wife or my kids or my grandkids, or travel and go see the pyramids of Egypt and all these wonderful things that are much easier to do when you're 22 years old than when you're 72 years old, Jack.
Well, it takes money, takes time, commitment. You have ailments that don't necessarily cooperate, so that takes a little bit of the sting out of a lot of the travel. So not a lot of it. Not taking the sting out, putting the sting in.
Right. And, we'll talk about things like hobbies, right? And we had my dad on last week, and he joked about the fact that he played more golf when he was working than he does now, right? And so the idea of having hobbies, and we find, Jack, most owners don't really have hobbies per se. Some have a few, but a lot of them don't have hobbies, right? Their hobby is their business.
Certainly, that's right. Not hobbies that are going to consume lots of hours per week, week after week after week. Most people, especially if they come from an administrative environment, have a job like that, they have to keep busy doing something. You just can't sit on the couch and watch TV all day. Although a lot of people choose that selection.
Well, I think that's one of the top five answers in terms of why people get out of retirement, Jack, is they sit home and watch daytime TV, and after about a couple weeks or a couple months, they can't stand it anymore. They say, is this what the future holds? Is this what I've been working all my time for, to get to this point, to be sitting on my couch watching daytime talk shows? Is that where it's come to? And so that will often drive people to kind of get back into stuff. People will fantasize about things like spending time with their grandkids, or, hey, I finally have time to go volunteer and do that kind of stuff. And we contend that if you haven't been doing that stuff while you're working, there's usually a reason for it, right? It's not that you don't like your grandkids or you don't like to volunteer or to travel. It's just that you don't like it as much as you like the business side of stuff.
Well, you can't fill the day with that day after day for a variety of reasons. Usually money's a big deal, health. You can only do so much with your grandkids. They don't want to hang around with you every day, and they love you. You love them, but a little distance helps in that case. And you can volunteer for organizations, but if you don't have the experience, you'll get the experience obviously when you start volunteering, but it would be nice if you had planned prior to your retirement those kinds of things, you know, check it out so that it can be seamless when you finally do retire. You get involved in something that you know you like, rather than go turning over rocks and trying to find out something that you like. You could buy a business. You could start a nonprofit organization. A lot of people think that's very daunting. And to some it is, for sure, but it's not as difficult as you may think to start a nonprofit. So if you want to teach, not so much in school, but that's possible, but teach courses. Start a nonprofit that will teach. It could be sports. It could be humanities, it could be gardening, it could be a number of things. There's a lot of things to do once you stop working, but you just don't switch that switch on the day you walk out of your company that you just sold. It takes a while to find that, you know, that time that you're going to be spending, and you can spend it with a different set of pressures.
Well, I think one of the things we talk about, Jack, to kind of sum that up, is we talk about this idea of a dress rehearsal, right? And so if you can think about that, you know, if you've been involved in theater at all before, or you're aware of it, I mean, before they go live with the show for the opening night, they have dress rehearsals. So they get there in full costume, they're trying things out. There's no audience there, but they're pretending there's an audience there, right? So we're not saying you bring an audience in to watch all the stuff for your company. That's not what I'm saying. But when you look at the analogy for the dress rehearsal, the idea being, let's try these things out and see how it looks. So from the next generation or the next owner's standpoint, if it's somebody internally, the idea there is to have them running things day to day to see how they do running the company. But it's equally, and so people know about that, but the equal importance of this is on the side of the current owner, and having that dress rehearsal you're talking about, Jack. Okay, well, let's try these things out. If you want to travel, why don't you try traveling for a month? You know, take a month off and go see some of these sites. See if it's what you imagined it would be, right? Or if there's that organization you've been meaning to volunteer for, okay, we'll go do that. Or if there is that nonprofit or that new business idea you've got, well, start spending some time there and see, is there something that's there that kind of gravitates to you? Because if you do have that, the reason why this is so important, folks, and why it can be a tremendous pitfall is because as the next generation coming up, you're wondering, okay, well, is the boss really going to leave? Or is she going to come back? Or am I having trouble getting her out of here?
Just took a month off for traveling, 2 months off, and here she is again. She just came back in and assumed her desk.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Just not missing a beat. Or, well, no, while traveling, Jack, usually it's more like, hey, she's calling in every day or checking email or sending an email, you know, just working
like
from working from a different location. And maybe it's time differences. Maybe they're working in the middle of the night or they're working early morning or late night, whatever it might be. But they're working from somewhere else. And so it's not really given that full dress rehearsal for what things would be like. So it's, you want to get a sense of what it's like. Does it feel right? Does it fit right? Is it something that you can see yourselves doing? Because we've seen so many times where, even if where people will take this, you know, we've had clients where, hey, you know, that current owner knows what they want to do next, and they're getting involved in some real estate stuff, having things happen. They start to all of a sudden go from working 5 days a week to working 4 days a week pretty quickly. So that they're ready, like they have an idea, because once you see it. As you know, as an entrepreneur, once you see something that you want, what do? You go get it.
Go get it.
You go get it and you go do it, right? That's right, Scott. People go do it. It's when they don't know what it is, or if somebody's pushing them to do stuff that they don't want to do.
That'll be very hesitant. You're
That's where the emotions are like, hey, don't push me out of here. You know, quit trying to get rid of me, you know. And the whole identity, there's so much of their identity tied up in what they do in terms of the business. And I know many of us, folks who even have jobs, talk about that, you know, where, you identify with your role. So the role as a business owner, you identify so much, you wonder, well, if I'm not here as the owner doing all things that I've been doing day to day for the last several decades, well, who am I? And that's a daunting question.
You associate yourself with your work.
Right.
There's no question about it.
And that's a daunting question to face and to be asking yourself, whether you're 20s, 50s, 80s, but you never stop asking that question, and if you're with the business, it can be very hard to separate those two because your identity is so tied to that, you know? And so it's an important thing, and this is only the first one, folks. By the way, we talked about the 7 key pitfalls. I don't know if we'll get to all 7 tonight, Jack, but we'll do our best. This is the first one, but we're spending so much time on it because it's first for a reason. It's one of the biggest ones we see, Jack, in terms of getting in the way of this transition, in terms of they got to know what you're doing next.
Well, let me give the titles of these 7. All right. And then we'll see how far we can get.
All right.
Okay. I got nowhere else to go. That's one. Two is sacred cows. Three, tough discussions. Four, opposing styles. Five, all about the money. Six, lack of outside experience. And seven, and not least, power of mom. Those are the seven pitfalls and that we're going to examine. And we did the first one, I Got Nowhere Else to Go, with Richard Gere.
That's right. And we're making that analogy. So that's the first one. As we get back here after break, we'll talk about some of those cows, Jack, in terms of what's kind of going on and helping to identify. But as we head to break, it'd be a good thing for you to kind of think about, as you look around your organization, are there some sacred cows that are there? Because when Jack and I first start with clients, we'll often ask that very direct question. And we have yet to hear somebody say, yes, I have sacred cows, and here they are.
They pause for effect. That's right.
There's often some blind spots to it. So while we're at break, before we come back, start giving some thought to the sacred cows you might be having in your business that could be a pitfall for you. Stay tuned. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight about pitfalls, Jack. The pitfalls that get in the way of transitioning your business from one owner to the next. And we have seven of them. We kind of went through the seven at the end of the last segment to kind of let people know about it. But we only covered the first one in the first two segments because it's very important about it. I got nowhere else to go. But we gave you a little bit of thinking material here in the last couple of minutes during break to think about something that might be in your business that could get in the way of a transition, and we call these things those sacred cows. Sacred cows, Jack, right? So if you're not in the farm business, what kind of sacred cows might you have? What the heck does a sacred cow mean?
I can't think beyond that.
I can't hear you, Jack. There you go. Talking to the microphone, Jack.
I can't.
I can hear you, but nobody else can.
One of those sacred cows just kicked me in the butt. So
that's right. We were trying to do some cow tipping in between during the break. We ran outside, and then all thing we could find here is deer, though. There aren't any cows in the area. We tried to get a deer, and deer are hard to catch, so we couldn't push them over.
They're real hard. Cows come right up to you. They're all right, depending on what they want. But anyway, sacred cows. Boy, that could mean a lot of things. It could mean people. Now, keep in mind, this subject comes up when we're talking with owners of a business who are looking to sell their company. So there's a lot of information, a lot of data that has to be pulled together and compiled. And one of the questions we always ask, not just for a transition, but for any coaching client, are there any sacred cows in the company? And people will look at us, they'll pause, they won't say anything because they're thinking about this. They've been running their company for years, and this is a question that kind of stops them in their tracks. And they'll say, to Adam's point before, we have not encountered anybody in the hundreds of companies we've dealt with who said, yes, I have two or three sacred cows, or I have a sacred cow. So there's always sacred cows. Not always. I'd say a big percentage, probably 75% of the clients we have and have encountered, sacred cows are in all these companies, one way or another.
Now, for a quick point of clarity, Jack, I want to make sure people understand. We aren't calling our clients and former clients and other owners we met liars, that they're lying to us and saying, we don't have cows, and yet they're here, they're shoving the door shut to make sure they keep in the closet, right? Much like the discussion of the last segment, Jack, about the whole idea of retirement, the sacred cows are things people often haven't thought much about, haven't thought deeply about it, right? Because nobody from the outside is going to come in and challenge them to say, okay, if we talk about the cows being things like people or certain customers or even certain products or services that you're currently offering, or perhaps certain vendors, right? You got a vendor you've been working with for the last 30 years, and that vendor is off limits. It's one of your best friends of all time. You know, no matter what, you aren't going to fire that person.
And here the person who's going to be buying your company is putting that vendor in the crosshairs of elimination because they can do better or do different. So all of a sudden, your emotions start to rise. Hey, you can't do that to Sarah. She's been a vendor who has saved us millions of dollars through the years. You know, you can't get rid of her. Or people in general. You know, you might have a long-standing employee who's not been standing all those long years. She's been sitting. And she's very valuable in your mind because of the great work she's done through the decades. But time has come about, and basically she's redundant, and technology has you know, come about to change the circumstances there. But you're going to be loyal to Sarah. She still has years to work before her Social Security, blah, 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 things like that. And that's a sacred cow. There's no way that I'm going to feel comfortable selling my company and see Sarah put out on the street. Those kinds of things then become emotional. They often become irrational as it relates to the deal itself, and the deal is trying to sell your company. So that's a pitfall that you got to be aware of. That's kind of what we're saying here.
Absolutely. And we know, as I mentioned, like the products and services, Jack, we know people, most of them start companies because they love the product and services.
They love it.
And,
right.
and we're amazed how often they truly fall in love with it. We've seen a lot, especially with retailers, Jack, where they'll fall in love with the products on the shelves. That's such a special this and that. And they see parts of that product that nobody else ever sees. And so they're totally attached to it and totally in love with it and see its great potential. So, again, it's a lot of these kind of sacred cows. And so that's what when it comes to just the overall day-to-day stuff. But there might be some sacred cows when it comes to the actual the transition itself too, Jack. It could be things like, you know, it's very common for the owner, the current owner, when they sell, to play the bank in a certain fashion, right?
That's right.
So what we mean by that...
I know what you just said, but yeah, what do you mean?
Let me explain it. So what we mean by that is... It's more rare than typical for somebody to come in and put a big pile of cash and buy the company. Okay, Jack, see you later, take off. It's much more common where there might be a little bit of money up front, and then the profits from the business will help to pay the owner to go away. And so the owner is playing the bank from that standpoint because they're getting paid, whether it be every month or every quarter, every year, a certain amount of money that helps to buy the business. And so if that's all something that you have no interest in, hey, you know what? I want to be one of those people that when I sell, it's clean cut. I want cash in the bank right now, and I walk away, and we're done. I don't have to ever think about it again. So if that's your stance, okay, let's put that out there. Put it out there and say, again, the sacred cows, I guess, can be okay, Jack, as long as we identify them and talk about them and say, well, here's what we're going to do. And then that next potential buyer will say, hey, okay, well, either I'm okay with that or I'm not okay with that, right? So that could be one, or it could be, again, they may have a sacred cows, too. You hear this a lot, too. We were talking to a guy yesterday about this. Hey, I'm not going to sell to family, no matter what, right? Or I may not sell to an outsider because I want to sell somebody inside. Or I'm never going to sell to a certain competitor. Again, there may be certain things like that where you're thinking about where those are, again, we're calling them and lumping them together as these sacred cows, but these are things that you are unwilling to do. So the key is to kind of be honest about these things because you haven't really thought much about them. We guarantee you that because we know because we've seen it. Usually it's when Jack and I come in, we start to ask some of these questions or poke at things and go, wait a minute. I think I just spotted one there, Jack. There's that cow moving along over there. Let's talk about that.
That's right. That's right. You know, you don't realize what you're doing until you are confronted with these very real statements. And that is, you know, we looked at your personnel and coming back to people. You know, you can have sacred cows build up in a company without you knowing it. And all of a sudden it becomes an issue. Now you got to make a decision when you're forced against the wall rather than take care of something like this gradually.
All right. Enough on the cows, Jack.
Okay.
That's point number two. We got seven here. We're moving along a little bit. So point number three is the tough discussions.
Ooh.
Tough discussions. Now, this can be kind of a catch-all because it depends, and it's like anything else. It's in the eye of the beholder, right? What do you define as a tough discussion? And again, Jack, we're often surprised by this. And again, if you didn't hear last week's show, you know, go check it out on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. Right, my dad was in here, and he kind of shared his 40-plus year experience of not only starting and growing the company, but eventually transitioning it to my brother. And then him transitioning to retirement. But I grew up where tough discussions were just part of that's part of how things were. You know, everything was on the table. Things were talked about. And I naively assumed that that was the case because, hey, if you have the people in your world who are closest to you, you got your family, your friends, folks who are the closest people to you in the world, shouldn't it be very easy to have these tough conversations with people?
Absolutely. You experienced, as I always say, you experienced a very unusual childhood.
So, but what we've discovered, though, Jack, is, in fact, it's not that easy to have some of these discussions. And we have found that people will react to these tough discussions in one of three ways. Okay. Number one is they'll avoid them almost at all costs. And we had a situation years ago, we got involved with a client where he had a mother and father who started the company, and about 20 years into it, one of the kids came into the business after working somewhere else, and the idea was coming into the business to eventually take it over. It wasn't going to happen anytime soon, but eventually take it over. And so the next decade goes by, and eventually the dad's looking to kind of get out. And you know what? Dad was one of the people you mentioned early on, Jack, was somebody actually took to retirement. You know, he was golfing all the time and traveling, and he was really enjoying himself
it,
for
right?
a few years and
right.
having a grand old time. Now, unfortunately, Mom wasn't experiencing the same thing. You know, and Mom was enjoying coming to work still. And Mom was in a very powerful position where she was handling a lot of the finances and the administrative stuff. And so the kid who was there had the title of president, right, to be the one who's in charge. But everybody knew, because of that long, dark shadow being cast by Mom, that the kid really wasn't in control at all of what was going on. And so we became aware of this very early on in our engagement. And so we said, okay, well, look, we can't just ignore this. This is a pretty big issue. We got to kind of talk about this. And so we talked through some different scenarios. And a big part of what we do with our clients is we do a lot of role playing or practicing, whatever you want to call it. So we'll talk through different discussions, especially when you have these tough discussions. Believe me, folks, it's like going into a tough negotiation. You don't want to have your first negotiation, the first time you're talking about it, be when you're alive. And you're going at it, okay? And so what we do is we're very conscious to make sure we have a lot of these kind of role-play discussions to try to make sure any question, thought, any kind of way this discussion can go, that we've been through it numerous times so that you're ready. When you have the discussion, you're ready to handle whatever's coming at you. And so in this case, we had discussions we want to have about, to talk to Mom and Dad. But there are also a couple other siblings, too, who weren't involved in the business but obviously had an interest in it because they were interested in what was happening here. And so we said, there's these two very different discussions. Let's get you prepared for it. Let's do this one first with Mom and Dad, and we'll do the sibling one next. And so over the course of the next couple of months, we did a lot of this role-playing, preparing for it to get ready to go. And then here we are, ready to go. And nothing's happening, right? All of a sudden, we're avoiding the conversations, right? And so that was a quick exit for us. You know, all of our clients that we work with are always month-to-month. Because we've got to make sure that we keep adding value and then that they keep staying coachable. And so if at any point either one of those is not happening, we can eject. And again, part before things get ugly, right? And so we realized about 3 months into this engagement that it wasn't going to happen. Everything we could try to do, Jack, to get this kid to have these tough discussions, avoiding left, it's like pushing that proverbial wet noodle around, right?
That's right.
Avoiding.
He wouldn't do it. We couldn't bring him to the altar at all. That's for sure.
So people can avoid them. So that's one of the three ways you can do it, Jackie. You can avoid them. The second thing you can do is you can have them, but you get real emotional. Real emotional. The point where you got vein-popping forehead kind of emotions, okay? And try to understand this, folks. If we're talking about that kind of vein-popping, yelling and screaming at each other, and it's happening with Jack and I in the room, I can't even imagine what it's like when nobody's around.
Right.
We're getting this peek into what's kind of going on. And usually a lot of what's driving that is people are looking in the past. And they're looking back to what happened before, what was there.
That's a real good point. Because, you don't have those kind of arguments about the future, do you? Not too often, anyway.
And it gets very, very draining to be able to look that way. So if we're going to have them, and then all of a sudden all we're doing is pissing at each other, and it's not really going anywhere, it can be very, very frustrating. You know. So if you're going to have them, you want to stay somewhat unemotional, if you can. And we've seen all kinds of good cases where that happens. And we got a story when we come back from break I'm going to share with you where we had these very tough discussions. And it could have gotten emotional, but it didn't. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini.
And stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the final segment of this week's show on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
Round four. This is Jack Mancini.
Hello, Jack Mancini. And we're talking about tough discussions, Jack. And so we talked about three ways people can handle them in the last segment. We talked about avoiding them, having them, but getting real emotional about it, especially talking about a lot of things in the past. And the third way to do it is you can have these discussions, stay professional about it, and really don't take things personally. And so I alluded to a story, and let me tell you this little story. We had a client several years ago, and it was two brothers. In fact, they were twins. And so they've kind of known each other pretty well. And can get emotional, as you might imagine. If anybody knows any twins, most twins have a little spark when it comes to things, right? Whatever it might be. There's a competitive nature to them and everything else. So in any case, we got brought in. It was a second generation where they'd been running the family business for maybe 6, 8, 10 years at that point. And we were in there just to help again, as we often do. We come in from a coaching standpoint. It's often coming in to help from the operations, to help to kind of put our seven keys to success into place from the business side of stuff. And we're about 6 months into the engagement, and we got a call from one of the brothers and said, "Hey, can we grab some lunch sometime? I just want to talk to you guys." Said, "Sure, no problem." So we go to lunch. He starts talking about things. He said, "You know what? My brother and I are fantastic brothers. We are not good business partners. He says black. I say white. And, you know, it's not to the point where we're fisticuffs rolling on the ground, but it's gotten heated at times, right? And it's not good for the organization." So, again, very mature way of looking at stuff and saying, look, looking at the overall organization, this is not healthy for the organization to have the two top guys kind of battling it out like that and giving different messages. Much like you got parents, right, and the kids know, I can go to mom for this or go to dad for that, and I'm going to get the answer I want. And it's just the same thing with employees, man. They're pretty smart, and they know.
You're absolutely right.
They know what's going on.
They know how to manipulate.
So I said, okay. He said, look, one of us has to go. And he said, could be me, could be him. I'm okay either way. But from a business standpoint, we can't keep doing what we're doing. I said, all right. So we kind of talked through what that would be like. He said, you let us know when you're ready. You know, it's got to come from you. It can't come from us, but we're happy there to be there to facilitate that, to be there with some support, to make sure that the message is getting across. Because as you might imagine, this is like, you know, picture being the brother. You know, we had this meeting, right? The brother had no idea this was coming. So it's almost like I try to give the example, Jack, of walking into a doctor's office, and all of a sudden you get that cancer diagnosis, and you just got punched in the gut. And the doctor's still talking, but
it's all you hear.
You right? aren't hearing anything, right?
Right. You hear the C word. That's it.
And so that's why they often encourage you to have an advocate in there with you to kind of make sure they hear stuff and kind of going. So we get ready for this meeting, and the brother who started this said, hey, explain to the other brothers, said, hey, look, we're great brothers, but we can't just keep doing this. We got to figure something out. Either I got to go, you got to go. You tell me what you want to do. I'll do whatever you want. If you want me to go, I'm gone. If you want to go, that's fine too. To this other brother's credit, he handled it well. I mean, and one of the things that happens too, folks, we get involved, when I say it's messy, we get involved in a lot of emotional discussions. And so this brother held it together, but you could see tears starting to well up in his eye. Again, he was thrown off by this. He was not expecting it. To his credit, again, coming back to staying professional about this, not taking things personally, he's able to gather himself, said, okay, if that's what you think makes sense, I agree. You know what? You go. I'll stay here. No problem, right? And so they're able to work over the next 6 months. They worked on a nice transition plan for taking the brother who was leaving to take, you know, whatever duties he was doing to kind of disperse them out to other folks who were there in the organization to find a replacement to come in and be able to do some of the things that he was doing. And in the meantime, what we did after he left, we worked with the other brother who left to help him find his next thing. And that brother went off and did some great things. It's, you know, started his own company. He actually wound up going to buy another company. The brother who remained was doing very well with the company there. And these two brothers are still partners in some real estate stuff, so they still have to kind of get together and work together. And this has been almost 10 years ago, and I just talked to him last week, Jack, and wondered how things were going. He said, hey, it's fantastic, you know. My brother and I are getting along fantastic. Things are going well. It couldn't have been better, you know. And as you look back, I was kind of reminding him of that, and he I could see the emotion in his face when I was talking about it. You know, 10 years has a way of kind of dulling the senses a little bit, you know, as you look back on things. I said, tremendous credit to you for having that conversation, because so many people that don't have it. And he said, you know what, you're so right. I know too many people that don't talk to their brother or sister anymore, and it's for silly stuff that they could have just kind of hashed out. So tough discussions.
That's a good story, and that's a great. Those guys are the poster child for what would be having a tough discussion and coming out really right on top, both of them. It's a good story.
So as you look at yourself, what kind of ways do you react to those tough discussion situations? Do you avoid them? Do you have them get real emotional and they don't really go anywhere? Or do you have them, you stay kind of professional and try to stay as unemotional as possible? And those are ways to kind of go about approaching that. But those tough discussions, it's usually the ones that are not had or that are either avoided or they're emotional. If you have them and you stay professional, they usually tend to go pretty well. And whatever fears you might have had, often it's not as bad as you think it was going to be. And it's a tremendous weight to kind of get it out there and start talking about it and seeing and be able to work through it. And there's so many situations we've seen that where that works and it enables people to come back as things change. Because keep in mind, we're talking about here, Jack, the big picture here is we're talking about the whole idea of having a transition. And as part of transition, there's usually that P word. There's a plan involved, right?
And so you get a word.
Yeah.
Right.
So you get a plan involved. The plan may say, hey, I'd like to transition for the next 3 years, Jack, or the next 5 years. And then something happens, like 2008.
Right.
And then I'll go back to last week because it's fresh.
Everything regroups.
Right, yep. Fresh in my mind, you know, where my dad was sharing the story about he and my brother. He said 2008 hit. And all of a sudden, my 401k became a 201k. Right? So the plans that he and my mom had in terms of what they were going to do after the work and how they were going to, you know, pay for what they were doing and the funds to live on happened. Okay, so stuff happened. So the fact that my brother and my dad and my mom had some of those tough discussions, they were able to come back to the table and talk about more tough things. That's a tough discussion to have too, but they were in the habit and routine of knowing how to do it and doing it well. And it's a key to that success because, again, if you can't have those tough discussions, I don't care what they are, you have to define for you what those tough discussions are going to be, Jack, but you got to have them in a way that's going to be productive and helpful for you.
Yeah, I mean, the chances of a successful transition kind of rest on that because it isn't all gravy, it isn't all sunshine, and sometimes you have to really face up to things that you've just been putting off, and that's a pitfall. That's what happens. The company or the transition doesn't go forward.
Now, we might be a little bit biased here, Jack, but we've been involved in a lot of these kind of situations where, you know, we've been able to facilitate and help have these discussions. So we would strongly suggest that, okay, whether it be coaches like Jack and I or whether you've got a CPA or an attorney or insurance, if you have some trusted advisor who kind of knows the parties involved, it's often very helpful to have that person in the room. When I say facilitate, it can often just be refereeing, Jack, right? Make sure everybody kind of plays fair to have those kind of discussions. Because, again, it can be very emotional. And, again, people, if you know each other well, you can take on certain roles maybe you shouldn't be taking on during those discussions. So it often helps to have that kind of a facilitator or a referee in there to help make sure these things kind of happen and the points get talked about that are key for this thing kind of moving forward.
I think what you're talking about is like a common fluid, someone that's going to keep things going, a good idea. Jack has many good ideas that he keeps you going with for a lot of the conversations you guys have talking about small businesses. Jack, I don't know if, you know, what you're thinking about for, you know, you going forward with future. I know you're talking about retirement. There's plenty of different options. You talk about successive planning or just planning in general. That's a big thing and a big staple that you've, you know, guided yourself on throughout your life, and you're a legend for it. So that, just keep that in mind. There's like, you know, you could do Top Golf. There's Top Golf facilities. You can go golf and you can have some fun. You talk about nonprofits, starting your own nonprofit. There's
sure.
Plenty of different avenues to explore, doing some pottery classes. There's plenty of different art ideas that, you know, it's a good thing going forward. But we've known you for a long time, and planning is always been your MO. So keep that going.
Pottery.
That P word.
Well, that's the other P word. Pottery? Is that the other P word?
That's.
I'm visualizing now, Scotty. I'm visualizing Jack. I'm not visualizing
with
pottery.
Apron and shorts?
No. Actually, I was picturing you with a beret, Jack. And one of those little, what do you call the little cigarettes or the cigars?
The little holder?
Yeah, well, it was a little like.
Or
like,
the Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, like Clint Eastwood kind, right?
Yeah.
So I picture that with a little beret. I could picture Jack with, you know, a little easel in a class, and he's maybe painting some fruit.
Maybe we could get like a fro on him for like a Bob Ross type, you know?
He could paint some happy trees then, right? Happy trees would be good.
That's me. That's me all the way. That's right. I could see doing that.
That's coming back to the kinder, gentler, softer side of Jack that most people, you know, often don't see. All right. So we got a couple minutes to go here in the show, Jack. And as we suspected was going to be the case. We weren't sure, as we weren't going to get to all seven of them today. We only got to three of them today. So we covered I Got Nowhere Else to Go, we covered Sacred Cows, and we covered Tough Discussions.
Okay, so...
But we got four more we haven't covered yet, Jack.
So let's roll it into some future date. You got the calendar there?
I do. It's going to be a few weeks. We're going to touch on... Let me just hit them real quick again, because you brought up at the end. So the four remaining that we'll touch on will be The Opposing Styles, All About the Money, Lack of Outside Experience, and The Power of Mom. And so we're gonna talk about those. It's gonna be here in a couple weeks, though, on our February 12th show. It'll be later. It'll be later in February. I don't have that down yet. So I'm thinking now we have next week. We have special guests next week that are in from out of town. You guys got to tune in for this. This is one of our early clients. They're clients. They've been clients for ours on and off for the last probably 13 years. They happen to be in town for a day with us next week, so we might be a little bit punch drunk next week when we get here. We're going to have a lot of fun with them. They have a fantastic story. They were six employees when we met them. They're up over 70 employees right now. And we're going to have both the founders in here. It's Michael Utes and Danette Amstein of Maiden Marketing. And they focus, it's a full-service marketing firm and communication firm focused on the meat market. And they got a fantastic story to share. They're going to share it with us here next week. We'll get to the second part of this show. In a few weeks from now, it'll be later in February. We'll keep you posted on it. We have guests coming as well, because we have another guest after that as well. So, hey, thank you for joining us this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you want to get hold of us in between, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com, or you can give us a call, 877-849-0670. If you missed any of tonight's show or any of our previous shows, you can catch them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or head over to our Facebook page by the same name. You can get them all there as well. Or better yet, take your smart device and go to Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe to it. It comes right to that smartphone. Hey, leave a review if you want. That'd be fantastic, too. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Hey, thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT, 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.